Hello everyone, Ruby Rider here from Pegging Paradise. It's nice to be back. It's been a whole week. This is the 13th podcast, so it's going to be a lucky one. I can just feel it. This is going to be an interesting podcast. I got a message from a reader asking about toy ownership protocols. What a wonderful phrase, and what an important subject. Here's what the message said. You've written eloquently about meeting open-minded women and asking/converting them to pegging. Say a guy has done that, purchases the requisite gear, harness, double dildo, etc., and he and she are off and running. Then events or life happens, and the relationship cools and ends. What's to become of the pegging equipment? Do they belong to the guy who purchased it? Should the woman keep it? Realizing that as a pegging aficionado, you, Ruby Rider, will always arrive with your own toys, but could you ever conceive of using a pegging harness or double dildo that had been used by a predecessor? Or should it all be burned, melted in the backyard after a drunken binge? This could add up over the lifetime of a peggy. Perhaps it is better saved until in a lifelong committed relationship. Wow, there's so much there. And you know, when I researched this and when I decided what I was going to speak to regarding this message and your questions, dear reader, wow, there's a lot of stuff here. So let's dive right in. Okay, first of all, let's answer your question about who gets to keep the toys. And what's to becoming the pegging equipment? Do they belong to the guy who purchased it? Should the woman keep them? First, I find it interesting that you assume that the guy purchased it. I know that's probably what happens more often, but in my world, it was the opposite. I was the one that purchased it. But moving right along there, who gets to keep the toys? You know, the ending of a pegging relationship can go many different ways, just like the ending of any relationship. It's very individual, and determining who gets the toys can involve a number of factors. Among them, first of all, who leaves whom? One person might feel hurt and wouldn't want the reminder of the same toys that they played with. Another factor is the degree to which both of them enjoyed the act. Perhaps there was one partner who really loved it and the other was only so-so. That's going to affect it as well. Another is one or both of them might think it's just kind of gross to use the same toy that on someone else in either direction, the woman or the man. And so no matter how well you sterilize them, that kind of freaks them out. And one partner may have actually paid for more of the cost of the toys or perhaps all of the cost. So, you know, hopefully there are few situations where vindictiveness enters into these factors and one partner wants the toys because they don't want their ex to ever have that much fun with anyone else. It could happen though. I mean, who knows? Maybe they don't want their ex to use the same toys with the person they were caught cheating with. You never know. But, you know, putting all that aside, it's like this, people. There is no rule about who gets to keep the toys. You're just going to have to figure that one out for yourselves. And hopefully it happens with you two coming to an agreement and discussing it, however briefly or extensively. And hopefully it's not you coming home from work and finding them strewn out on the front lawn or something like that. Hopefully you can be adults and discuss what needs to be discussed and work it out. There is no rule as to who gets to keep what. As far as bringing the toys to another relationship, wow, this is a loaded subject. This question was actually asked on Reddit, and there was a wide variety of responses. Although the question was asked in the Reddit sex group and not the Reddit pegging group, so it was about regular toys and not pegging equipment, I still believe it's applicable in many ways, and here were some of the basic factors that I saw. First, there's the hygiene and squick factor. Some people were really squicked out by the very thought of sharing it with another person and felt like common decency and hygiene and just a pure lack of ookiness dictated a necessary disposal of the toys and purchase of new ones with a new partner. Others thought that as long as the toys could indeed be completely sterilized, that there was no reason to get rid of a collection of expensive toys. And we'll talk about sterilization later. But okay, here's another factor, gender. This was fascinating. A man who had a collection of pegging toys seemed to more often be viewed as rather seedy and gross by some of the women. Whereas a woman with a collection of toys, thinking about sharing them with a new partner, seemed to be viewed as no big deal by most men. Now, granted, in pegging, there are more men likely to have the collection than women, just because the numbers of men to pegging seem to far outweigh the women, but still, interesting gender discrepancy here, gender discrimination. Then there's the emotional factor. And by this I mean, how would it feel if, as a woman, you were dating this guy who shared his love of pegging with you at a time you felt was appropriate and all that was hunky-dory, and you were up for the idea. And then he says he has a collection of pegging toys that he and his ex used to use, and would you be up for using them? Now, granted, you probably wouldn't ever want to say exactly that to the new girlfriend, but do you get my point here? Some women can't help but be squicked out, or worse, pissed off thinking about the ex. Women want to feel special, as opposed to men are more motivated by the sex and they just want to get fucked. I mean, I'm going to get a ton of shit for that one. Women just want to feel special and men just want to get fucked. There's some truth to that, though. That's part of the emotional factor because, you know, the opposite scenario really didn't seem to bother the men as much with the idea of having toys, but the women kind of freaked out about it. They had a bit of an attitude, and I'm not saying all of them, but there were more women that had that attitude of, well, I should be special enough to where he gets me new toys, that kind of thing. And then there's the financial. So in this Reddit thread, the only factors that weren't specifically taken into consideration as far as shared sex toys that might be different with pegging equipment were price, because sometimes pegging equipment is more expensive, not always, and harness material. So those can both be expensive items. The financial was not taken into consideration there. But, you know, I think that the better toys are going up in price. I don't know if they're going to continue to go up in price. Here's what I mean by that. There's a whole new generation of really, really nice sex toys that I am so pleased are on the market. And they're fairly expensive. They're investments. They're going to last you a long time. They're rechargeable. They're, I mean, go on and on. So those are awesome. And they're expensive. It's not just the pegging toys that are expensive. There's vibrators. There's all kinds of different things that are kind of pricey. So finances can come into play. And then as far as harness material, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. That is another thing that would have been different as far as what they were taking into consideration on that Reddit thread. Harness material is to be taken into account here. So let me diverge for a little bit and tell you what my experience was. My first experience was actually exactly that. It was with a man who had a collection of toys from his last relationship. He very carefully explained to me that rather than throwing them all away because they were a significant investment, that he had cleaned them extra good and wiped them with alcohol, and was that okay with me? And I said, sure. I mean, this was long before I knew anything about safe materials for sex toys, so as I think back on it, those toys might have been porous and unable to be completely sterilized, but I didn't get any UTIs or anything like that. But in another vein, you know, keep in mind here that I had been fantasizing about fucking a guy roughly forever, so my desire to actually try it probably would have been powerful enough to say yes if he'd had, like, rubber bands and a cucumber or something. I'm not exactly your normal female when it comes to pegging, so take that into consideration. As I recall, I believe he had a cheap beginner's harness that had elastic straps that did a horrible job of holding the toy on me, so I basically held it with my hand most of the time I was fucking him, and he got a lot more out of it than I did, but okay, I digress. To continue, when I decided many years later that I wanted to get serious about trying out pegging, I bought my own equipment. I researched it really well and chose very carefully. I ended up getting an Aslan vinyl harness and a Vixen Creations Mistress dildo. The vinyl harness was not a conscious choice at that point in terms of realizing I was choosing vinyl rather than leather or another material. I chose it because it was pretty. And I have pictures of it, and I think it is still really pretty. It's sparkly blue. It's gorgeous. So I've always been glad that I started out with good equipment. You know, the Vixen dildo is awesome. It's 100% silicone. Vinyl is easier to clean than leather and more shareable. We'll talk more about that in a bit. And the dildo is 100% silicone, and it's easy to sterilize. So the men that I have enjoyed pegging with since then have all been okay with my collection of toys. And I have been fine with using theirs, too, as long as they were 100% silicone. But again, you know, maybe I and the men I date are not accurate representations of typical attitudes, because as my reader points out, I am a well-known pegging aficionado. So here's more about the harness material. I've actually recently taken to using a spare parts harness most often, because it's so comfortable, partly, but also because it can be cleaned easily. I've decided to put my leather harness aside. I've talked about how I've got the lovely Outlaw Leather Annie O, which is an awesome creation, and probably hardly any out there because they went out of business. That particular harness I am putting aside for the next time I'm in a committed relationship, and here's why. Technically, leather should not be shared. You can read about it on the internet. I found a really good article about this, and not just about leather, but about other materials as well, at a website called domsub.info/toys-and-risk. You don't have to memorize that, because I'm going to have that link on the blog. And let me read you a quote from that about leather. Leather is particularly difficult to disinfect without causing some wear and tear. Leather is a biological material, and disinfectants function by disrupting biological structures. After leather is treated with disinfectant, it should be allowed to dry thoroughly before reconditioning with mineral oil or your favorite leather conditioner. With leather, it becomes a choice of either accepting some reduction in the life of the toy or choosing to limit the toy to only one person. Okay, so that's the end of the quote. I have read other places a little more alarmist type of writing about how you can never completely and totally disinfect leather. That is the opinion of some people who are really, really particular and intense about making sure everything is 100% sterilized. And from that description that leather is a biological structure, I can see their point. There are different types of germs that can last longer than others without moisture and things like that. So the important thing is to try and eliminate the vast majority of those, and as well as the specific problem ones. And that article does go into that. It's probably written on a rather BDSM site, because in the BDSM world, the discussions about leather are ongoing because the use of impact play often involves leather toys, and that makes things more complicated, so they write about it more. We do have similar issues with pegging. We have similar things to consider with using leather harnesses, as yummy as they are. I mean, the first time that this came into my awareness, I was listening to the Sex is Fun podcast, and they raved about the Annie O, Outlaw Leather. And there's not just one person who does that podcast, there's several. And one of the women there wanted to borrow the harness from the other guy's wife who had bought it and was so thrilled with it. And she said, nope, it's leather, not shareable. So these people knew all about it back then. And it was a good introduction for me, even though it was many months before I got myself my Annie O. Okay, so as an aside, considering all this, and I also wanted to mention, go read the article because it sums it up really concisely and lets you know what your risks are. I'm going to post the link on my blog, But by the way, the article was reviewed by an MD. It has that right at the top. So you can be assured, more assured, you know, you never really know what you got on the internet, but you can be more assured it is accurate information. So as an aside, if you are buying equipment for pegging, and you're in a situation where you are going to play with a partner and you have any reason whatsoever to think that this will not necessarily be a long-term partner, take that into consideration when you make your equipment choices. Probably best to choose a harness that's washable, easily cleanable, not leather, as yummy as it is. Oh, leather is so yummy. Because that way you won't be faced with the dilemma of what to do with the leather harness after he or she is gone. Some people do share leather toys, some people don't. There's always a balance of deciding where you stand in terms of risk. Low risk is acceptable to some people, but it should be clearly understood that low risk does not mean no risk. And here's an example. Many women have decided that giving a blowjob without protection is an acceptable risk. That does not mean that there is no risk in doing so. So know the risks that you are taking before you take them. Okay, so let's go to your other questions. Could I ever conceive of using another's equipment? Sure, I have actually, twice that I can recall. That first experience, which I described, and then another experience, which I described briefly, of a one-time meeting with a play partner who brought the field dough that frustrated the fuck out of me. You know, that was his equipment. I guess I was less informed back then, so I didn't really greet or meet either of those situations with skepticism and insistence upon cleanliness, and also I didn't enter into those situations with as much knowledge as I have now about the material of toys. I have a lot of knowledge now. So, I don't know, I was pretty trusting. Would I do it again? Yeah, absolutely. Oh, wait, three times. My bad. Three times. It wasn't twice, it was three times. More recently, a partner had a couple of very nice Tantus. No, they're Vic skins. And Vic skin is one of the few materials that they make dildos with that is just as safe as 100% silicone, but it is made to be more skin-like with a firm inner core and a softer outer core. Awesome. Very, very nice dildo. Awesome. There were two of them, one bigger than the other, and I happily used those with the partner I had. They were wonderful. They were really, really nice, and they're pricey, so eventually I'm going to add that to my collection, but I haven't yet. I took his word that he cleaned them well. He took my word that I cleaned my toys well. And it all works. Okay, your other question. This is funny. Or should it all be burned and melted in the backyard after a drunken binge? I liked the visual that brought into my head, because at the ending of some relationships, I have absolutely felt that way. Basically, I think that decision is affected more by the emotional state of the toy keeper at the end of the relationship, I think. But know this, if you try to burn the 100% silicone dildo, that's not going to work out so well for you. In fact, I haven't researched this, so I'm just going to talk off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure it absolutely will not burn. I believe that somebody, dang, I can't remember who, was doing some tests on dildos and trying to set them on fire, doing a flame test. Oh, it was some blog. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, some of these things say, some of these sellers, manufacturers say they're 100% silicone. Well, if it is 100% silicone, that's the test. They won't burn. You can't harm them. And some of them were harmed by the flame and did burn a little bit, which shows there's something else in there, even if it's just a little bit. I mean, there's nobody slicing up dildos and sending them to the lab and telling us what's in them, sadly. We just have to trust people. But the better manufacturers, the better known ones, the ones in the United States, first of all, are making 100% silicone dildos that you can absolutely know that they're 100%. and those ones were not harmed by the flame test. So after reading that and then reading your question about burned and melted in the backyard after a drunken binge, I had to laugh. I'm like, you know, those dildos are going to be there forever. And it's not going to be very satisfying for you if that's the emotional state you're in and that's the choice that you make. You could send the harness up in flames, though. You definitely could. Unless you've got, like, a rubber one or something like that. But anyway, it was a nice visual. I got a laugh out of that one. One thing that I didn't actually address in writing this up, and I'm just thinking about now, is, okay, if you decide you're going to get rid of these, what do you do with them in terms of if you totally decide you're going to throw them away? You just put them in a big bag and throw them in the trash? It just seems like such a freaking travesty. It really does. Okay, but we'll talk a little bit more about the alternative to that at the end of this podcast. So last but not least, you, reader, mentioned this. This could add up over the lifetime of a Peggy. Perhaps it is better saved until in a lifelong committed relationship. That's a very interesting point. You know, I talk about intimacy and role reversal and how pegging usually isn't for casual encounters because of these things, vulnerability, things like that. But finances actually do come into the picture a little bit, obviously. Probably one more reason why pegging would work better in an established relationship, because it can get pricey, absolutely. I mean, you heard me last week, everybody. I was nervous that I lost my luggage when I went to Portland and came back, and they delivered it the next morning, and they were fine. But there were a lot of toys in that suitcase. I haven't really added up how much the cost is of all those, but whoa. So yeah, finances are an issue. And to make it even more complicated, sometimes people would love to get the really nice expensive toys and they can't, but we've talked about that before. So given all of that information that I just went over, here's my advice. If you are the person who ends up with the toys, first of all, if there are any toys in that collection that are not 100% silicone, or those very few materials that are just as safe, two of which I know are Vigskin and Tantus O2, if they're not in the safe category, just get rid of them. Just throw them away. There is absolutely no reason to keep a substandard toy that you were putting a condom over because you knew it was substandard and toxic anyway, and porous and can hold bacteria, and to take that toy and then use it again on someone else, even if you cover it up with a condom. Just get rid of it. Not okay. From that point, then you take what's left and you sterilize it, everything that's left, really well. And I'm talking like boil them and wipe them with alcohol. Why? Okay, wait for just a minute. First, let's get the timing right here. You don't have this toy conversation with someone until you have both come to the conclusion that you're up for pegging. You need to have crossed that line first. So in whatever way that happens, in the beginning of this relationship or in an established relationship, assuming you're hiding the toys somewhere and they don't know about them, you need to have crossed that line to where you're both knowing that, yes, you've come to the agreement and conclusion that you are both interested in pegging. So once you've crossed that line, back to why you do the extra cleaning. You do the extra cleaning because when the time comes that you say very, very carefully to your partner, look, first I want to say that what's most important to me is that you are comfortable here no matter what. But I actually already have the equipment for pegging. When you say that, you will also be able to say, I've boiled it and I've wiped it down with alcohol to make absolutely sure it's perfectly clean. But I'm going to leave it up to you whether we use it or not, because I want you to be comfortable. That's the most important thing for me. And you leave it right there, and you let decide, and you go with whatever they decide. You don't talk about money, you don't talk about anything, because there's so many different ways that could go wrong. I mean, the thing is that when you're at that point in a relationship, it's kind of like it's a time that is fraught with potential roadblocks. So you don't want to throw another one up. You really, really don't. If you have a partner who's agreed to do pegging with you, awesome. Make it as easy as you can for them. Here's the caveat to that advice that I just gave you. If you are with a partner who is kind of germ phobic, and honestly, I can't picture that, because these types of folks rarely decide that the potential germ-filled act of pegging is okay with them, but it could happen. But if you get that sense that your partner is at all phobic about germs or easily squicked out about stuff like that, just throw the toys away or give them away and start fresh. It's just not worth freaking them out when you are, again, at that delicate stage of easing into the pegging relationship with each other. So if you sense that's likely to be an issue, just don't go there. In this vein, I found something I'd love to share with you. I found it on Reddit. It was one delightful sentence in a longer reply that contained advice to a man who posted a question on Reddit about buying equipment. He was wondering what his girlfriend would like best, what he should buy, and things like this. And this commenter was advising him to just ask her, ideally, that shopping with her probably would be a really good idea, because then she would get what she liked as well. Here's the sentence. "Plus, if you're anything like me and mine, comparison shopping for dildos hits the sweet spot on the sexiness, obsessive nerdiness, prudent household finance Venn diagram, and so is basically a kind of foreplay in and of itself." You know, sometimes in my life there are sentences that thrill me, and that is one of them. That facile use of words practically makes me wet, I swear to you. I am such a word slut. That is an awesome sentence. So, thank you, commenter, for that. It totally rocks. I wrote and asked if I could use this in my blog, even though it's out there in the public on the internet, just to be nice about it, but I didn't get a response from you, so I went ahead and jumped in there and read it anyway and shared it with my peeps. Hope y'all enjoyed that. I sure did. So, after all that, here is my question for you all. Here's a hypothetical for you. If you make the decision to get rid of the toys for whatever reason, do you think there is a way of finding them a new home? I mean, my first knee-jerk reaction that I think a lot of people have is, I do agree that sort of, okay, the phrase used sex toys, I mean, ew. Used sex toys are kind of strange to even consider giving away. But if you can easily sterilize them, why not? You know, I have to say, that's one thing you'll never see an Amazon listing where it's like, buy one used. That's never going to happen for like a Vixkin dildo or something. It's never going to happen. But, you know, they are expensive. Is there a way to actually find a new home for them? You know, considering you probably don't want to go around to your friends and offer them up for grabs so that everyone knows what you like to do in bed, what could you possibly do with them to avoid the terrible waste of just dumping them in the trash, hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of wonderful, lovely toys into the trash? So if you have any thoughts on that, send them to me. I would love to hear. And send me also your questions and your stories. We loves the stories. To ruby@peggingparadise.com. You can follow me on Twitter, ruby_writer. You can follow me on Facebook. I have a profile there, and I also have a page, Ruby Writers Pegging Paradise. And you can subscribe to my blog, and you can do all those things on the left-hand side of my website. And I'm going to throw in there one more little plug for my memberships, because, you know, the membership sale was August and it's over now. But I did the math, people. I did the math. If you signed up now for the I Want It All membership and you got 12 stories in the next 12 months, and you had access to the other 26 in the archives, which you immediately get access to when you, of course, when you get the I Want It All membership. Do you realize that is 76 cents a story? Dudes, go for it. Push the button. Buy it. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's a fun part of my week to do this podcast. I really enjoy it, so I'm really glad there's a whole bunch of people out there who are enjoying it as well. I'll talk to you next week. Until then, happy pegging. And this is Ruby Ryder, Pegging Paradise.